Proverbs 26, the first part of verse number 20. The writer said, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Would you lift your hands one more time, ask the Holy Ghost to help us and anoint us tonight. God, we appreciate you so much for your spirit. We've already felt. The writer in Proverbs said, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. And I want to preach, Lord, help me for a little while tonight on there's more to a fire than a flame. There's more to a fire than a flame. When the word fire is mentioned, when you hear the word fire, automatically, I don't know, maybe you don't, but I do, the first thing that comes to my mind is a blazing flame. That reddish, orangish glow that rises up off of the fire, that's the first thing that I think about when the word fire is mentioned. Webster defines flame as the glowing part of a fire. The state of blazing combustion, brilliance, luminous, or burning zeal or passion. Really, to sum it all up, it's just the part that everybody sees. It's the part of fire. The flame is the part of fire that captivates the human eye. It captivates our attention. There's something about a fire, a flame, it draws people. Something about that flame, it captures their attention, their focus is on the flame. I remember when I was 15, we went to New York, and we went with a friend of ours. He went on a business trip. Me and Dad went. We was walking down the streets of New York City, and it was like something you'd see in a book or on a television somewhere, and we don't like we used to see before we got saved on a television. But you've seen those pictures, haven't you, of an apartment building with somebody standing at the window of the fire truck and the flames are bursting out the window, and you see those. I seen that walking down the streets of New York City. When I looked up, we looked up, and there was smoke rising, and there was flames leaping out of the windows of this apartment complex. And Brother Joey, that's really the only thing that sticks in my mind. I don't remember fire truck. I don't remember anything, but I've had that mental picture in my mind for 15 years because there's something about a flame. It captures people's attention. It's why a lot of people get the pyromaniacs, the people that are in awe of flames. It's why they set fires and go off somewhere just to watch them burn. Because the flame is that part of the fire that everybody sees. When you see a picture of a wildfire spreading across the desert, spreading across the west, what do you see? You don't see the point of origin. You don't see any of that. You see the flames. And oftentimes the severity of the fire is judged by how high the flame is. When all reality, there's a lot of flames that burn high, but the fire really is not as hot as it lets off to be. I would rather take my chances on sticking my hand in a burning flame than grabbing a pile of red-hot coals off a fire. I'd rather, because see, we look at the flame and think, wow, what a fire. But I've seen some flames that burned high, but they didn't burn very long. I've seen them come out and they begin to blaze in a blaze of glory, but they burn out before they really ever got hot. See, the flame is the desired result. It's the expected end of a fire. The flame does not produce fire, but the flame is a testament that there is a fire burning. When you get to the point of having a flame, it's an evident sign that there is a fire burning. And I like to preach to us tonight, it's the same way with the fire of the Holy Ghost. I'd like to draw a comparison between that flame as an outward manifestation of an inward experience in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, you know the story. 120 were gathered together. They'd been there. They were praying. They were there, and they were waiting on the promise. And the Bible says that when the fire of God fell, the Holy Ghost, and they began to stagger out in the streets. Brother Yancey, that staggering in the streets, that speaking in tongues, the shouting, the loudness, all of that, it was what caught everybody's attention. It was what drew their attention and said, these men are drunken. But Peter said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. But this is that prophesied by the prophet Joel. And in the last days, situation that caught the attention of everybody around. And they begin to look and they begin to watch. And understand me, I want to make this disclaimer. I believe in a flame. I believe in the outward manifestation of the moving of the Spirit. I like to shout and dance and speak in tongues and run the aisles this week. But I got to preach to you tonight that there's more to the fire than the flame. Many in our day love the flame. They love the excitement. They love the energy. They love the emotion. And their flame can burn bright and it can blaze high. But as soon as the flame dies out, there's no fire in their life. There's no warmth. There's no heat. There's no light. Oftentimes our services are judged by how high the flame is. I've been to churches before, and certain parts of the country are more notorious for it. But I've been to some churches, brother, and I know there's times, I'll just be honest with you, I don't get anointed. Bro Joey, maybe you get a hold of it every time you preach, but there's been some times I was just as ready to quit as they was for me to quit. But I've been some places, I knew I felt the Holy Ghost, but they wasn't feeling. But there's some places you go, they don't feel like you're preaching unless you're running and jumping and screaming and hollering. And I do that, and I love that. But what I'm trying to preach to you is some people, their thermometer is how high the flame gets. But I want to preach to us tonight, that is not the correct thermometer of how high a service is. But it's that fire of God burning on the inside. The flame is just an outward manifestation of an inward experience. People love that flame. They love that excitement. The problem is a lot of people want a flame like the fireplace at my mom and dad's house. I'll go over there a lot of times in the winter after we get done hunting in the morning, been out shooting ducks in the freezing cold. I'll go over there waiting on daddy to get ready to go do a job. Brother Joey, and I'll pile up in his recliner. I'll reach over on the end table and pick up a remote and push a button, and instantly a fire roars in the fireplace. Instant flame, instant heat. If I get too hot, I can turn it off. If it gets uncomfortable, I can turn it off. If I get cold, I can turn it on. I got a remote, and I can flip it on and off and back and forth. I don't put any effort into it. I ain't split no wood. I hadn't struck a match, but I got a flame going, and it's burning bright. That's the kind of flame a lot of people want in the house of God. They want a flame they can turn on. And then when it gets too close to their life, they turn it off. Because understand, you can't get in the presence of God and have the real fire of the Holy Ghost without it burning out some things in your life. So they turn it off when it gets uncomfortable. When it starts getting hot, they push the button. But I come to preach to us tonight. It ain't all in the flame. I believe in the flame. But I want to know, young people, do you have the fire of God in your life? What is producing the flame? No effort. No, just push a button. Turn it on. I know them people. They can turn it on. They can turn it off. The only problem is with that kind of fire, as soon as you turn it off, instantly you can feel the draft of the room begin to come back in. As soon as you push the button, the fire, the flame is gone, and the cold comes back in. And I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, they didn't have no push-button fire. We had an old-school fireplace. And, brother, it took a long time for the heat to get out. What is it? It's the flame. People want it easy. They want a flame that's just there. They want the high. They want the emotion. They want the energy. But I got to preach to you tonight. Only thing that flame should tell us is that there's a fire burning on the inside. The focal point shouldn't be the flame. It ought to be the fire. It ought to be the point of origin. It ought to be something in our life that's burning out everything else. And then because of that, the flame begins to glow. I know these people. I didn't come to this camp as a kid. I went to some other camps, but they had a remote. Brother Joey, they could turn that thing on, and I watched them shout and dance, speak in tongues, fall out on the floor. They about tore the place up, kicking people. I mean, it was dangerous. It was dangerous. But as soon as the flame died and the service was over, they was talking filthy. They was listening to garbage and music. They was talking about every program on television and the filth and garbage. And I'm thinking, I'm looking, and I wasn't the most spiritual person at youth camp by any means, but I had enough sense to know the real fire of the Holy Ghost, it will not allow you to have that in your life and Him at the same time. As when the genuine fire begins to burn, He burns off the flesh. He burns out the world. That's why some people only want the flame. They want to kick and dance a little bit, but they don't want to give up the world. They want to run and shout a little while, but they don't want to shuck off the world. And I come to preach to you tonight, if you're going to have the fire of the Holy Ghost, if you're going to have a lasting fire in your life, you got to have more than a flame. You got to have the fire. Fire is threefold. There's three elements that must be present for a fire to burn. Without these, it's impossible to produce a flame. The first thing, there must be fuel. There's got to be something that'll burn. Got to be. I know some people that they think they can literally, in life, not nothing to do with church, they think they can just burn anything. They got a buddy at home. They've been married about a year. They got a brand new mobile home. He come home one day. Wife had some big old logs in the fireplace, green, big old logs in there. And she's standing over him with a can of lighter fluid. Talking about 2011, boy, and she's squirting it. Light. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a fire. She didn't understand the concept that there's some things that just won't burn. There's some things that if it ever does burn, it burns slow and it won't ever really get going good. I don't know about you, but I've seen people try to start fires with green logs. I've seen people try to start fire with all kind of stuff. We in the roofing business. You don't want to try to start a fire with a shingle. With a green log, some people don't even know where to begin to start a fire. Now, I ain't a pyromaniac, but I built a few, and I like to start off small, Brother Joey. I like to get me something that I can light, some old paper or something, split me up some little fat lighter, some kindling, and lay it on there. Then I get me some little short sticks that's dry, put them on there. I like to get some split seasoned hardwood and put on top of that and get that burning and then start piling on big stuff, and before long you got a fire that'll burn as long as you'll feed it. But some people don't know about building a fire. See, Romans 12:1 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies under a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That idea of a sacrifice is presenting your body to God in such a way that His Spirit will consume it, that His fire will consume it. And I've seen some people come to the altar wanting the fire, saying, let the fire fall, let the Spirit move, Brother Joey. I looked at him, I want to tell him, brother, sister, that won't burn. That's just not ever going to ignite. That's not going to catch fire, because God's got a standard for the fuel that He burns, and it must be holy and acceptable. I've seen folks around the altar trying to catch on fire. Brother, there wasn't no way the Holy Ghost was going to fall on them in any way other than old-time conviction, because they didn't measure up to the standard of God for the power of the Holy Ghost. God just don't burn anything. A lot of people try to skip all of them steps. They want to get a gas can and they want to pour fire and pour. They want to pour deep. Just do it right. If you'll build it right, it'll burn as long as you'll feed it. But them people that try to skip steps, they always having to pump it up and pour stuff on it. It's like a boy that come to our church years ago, probably 10 years ago. He come to church. I believe he really got saved, Brother Joey. He loved the shouting and all that goes with it. But he loved sin too. And you can't have both of them. So he left us and went down to the charismatic church. Decided he was going to have his cake and eat it too. He wanted the flame, but he didn't want the real fire. But when he come back to us and he began to pray, and everyone knew he was living in open sin, shacked up with a woman, drinking, smoking, living in sin. And we begin to pray with him, and he begins to speak in tongues and shout. You know, Brother Steve, he's little, but he's bold as they come. He walked over to him and stopped him. He said, quit all that. He said, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You're not even saved. But what he did, he went off somewhere and got some wildfire. He went off somewhere and got something in him. And Brother Steve asked him, he said, when did this happen? He said, Brother Steve, I was at the church down here. I was shacked up, smoking, drinking, living in sin. And I was praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And a woman come by him and told him to open his spirit. He was going to receive. And receive he did. But it wasn't the Spirit of God. See, all they was interested in was a flame. And I want to know if I got anybody that's interested in having the fire of God. And understand the flame may not always be burning as high as it could be. But if there's a fire on the inside, that's Brother Jim, that's what I'm interested in. I love it when the flame comes up and it ignites, but I want the fire. There's got to be fuel. Wood. My text said where no wood is, the fire goeth out. There's more to a fire than a flame. The next thing, not only must there be fuel, there must be oxygen. There must be wind or air. Why do you think it's so detrimental out west when those wildfires are raging, when the wind begins to pick up? Because it spreads that fire. There must be, for fire to exist, it must be in an environment where it can receive wind, where it can receive oxygen. And as I begin to look at this, those men and women in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, verses number 1 and 2, the Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place with one accord. They had the fuel present, and they was laying it all in order. They was getting everything lined out and everything lined up. But I also see in that text that they were in an environment where there could be oxygen, because the Bible said there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting in. I don't know about you, but the easiest place I found to ignite a fire is in the place where the breath of God can move, where the wind of the Holy Ghost can blow. I know you can pray through it. You better pray through it, the house. But I tell you, there's nothing like it when you get in the presence of God and the breath of God, the wind of the Holy Ghost begins to blow. It's something about it, Brother Nathan Paget. It's easy to catch on fire. Don't expect to have the fire of the Holy Ghost if you're in an environment that smothers out the wind of God. Something about a fire. You ever been... Maybe I shouldn't say that some of you kids would do it, but if you go to Cracker Barrel, them fires they got burning on the tables, if you'll take that little dessert thing they got and set on top of it, that thing will go out. Why is that? You cut off its supply of oxygen. You cut off the wind going to it. You cut off its breath. It's the same way with you and I when we put ourselves in an environment where the wind of the Holy Ghost cannot. You say, God can do, yeah, God can do anything, but there's some places the Holy Ghost just ain't going to blow. There's some places the wind of God just ain't going to go. And when you young people put yourself in a position, why am I struggling? Why am I battling? Look at the environment you're in. You're about to choke the Holy Ghost out. You're about to cut off the oxygen supply to the fire of God. I never in my life seen people that feel like they can just go anywhere and do anything and live anyway and still have the fire of God. It don't work. You got to come out. Not only must there be oxygen and fuel, there must be heat. There's got to be a source of heat that can bring that fuel to a flash point, to a point of ignition, to combustion. It's got to be a source of heat that can work with the oxygen and the fuel to bring it to a place where it will ignite. In Acts chapter number 2, when I read that, they're there, 120, it looks like good fuel. The wind of God is there. And then the Bible said there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. I wish to God tonight we could have an ignition in here. We could have combustion on the first night of youth camp, and the power of the Holy Ghost would settle in this place and set some people on fire. You say, I need the fire of God. You don't have to wait till Thursday night to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe on the first night, all we need is some young people that says, God, I want to be fuel. I want to be something you can burn. I want to be a living sacrifice. Let the wind of God blow. Let the fire of God fall and start a fire in our lives. There's got to be fuel. There's got to be oxygen. And then there's combustion. You ever been in those services? I have. I've had those personal experiences where I may not have been exactly where I needed to be. But Brother Joey, I got off somewhere and I began to pray. And God began to get me in order. I began to get that sacrifice in order. I began to lay it all out. And it didn't take very long when you get to praying about that. I begin to feel something come in there. I begin to feel the Spirit of God. I don't have much hair, but I feel what little I got stand up on my head. I knew the air conditioner wasn't. What is that? That's a wind of the Holy Ghost begin to blow in my life. And it didn't take very long till I felt the fire of God fall. And I caught on fire burning with the Holy Ghost. Then, brother, sister, you want to know what'll keep you out of the world? You want to know what'll keep you in the altar? You don't want to know what'll stop the struggle? It's when you get on fire for God, when you get the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life. Back at the turn of the century, late 1800s, and I'm not going to preach long, late 1800s, early 1900s, Yosemite Park, Yosemite National Park, it's familiar, you probably heard it. But they started there, started off small, just a couple of men. They built a fire on a cliff. When they got done, they kicked it over. The people below began to enjoy the scene of the fire falling over some 3,000-foot cliff. And to make a long story short, it grew into a nightly routine, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. They'd build bigger fires, and they'd build bigger fires. And there'd be men on top, and there'd be men in the valley. And when they got it all together, the fire was going. They'd cry out. The men on top, they'd cry out. And they'd cry out, "Are you ready?" And below, they'd come back, they'd cry back out and say, "Let the fire fall." And they'd cry back, "Are you ready?" Then they'd cry back a shout, "Let the fire fall." And they would take that fire and they would push it over that cliff and the fire would begin to tumble. I've seen pictures of it. It's an awesome image. Brother Jim, I want to know if there's any young people in this place tonight. If we could cry to God, "God, let the fire fall." I don't know what you come to youth camp for, but I'd like to leave here on fire for God. I'd like to leave here more of the Holy Ghost than I came with. If I had one cry to God tonight, it'd be, "God, let the fire fall. God, let the fire fall." I don't want to be the generation that loses a fire. They stopped that when they quit doing it. The secretary of the Department of the Interior stopped it, Brother Joey. And when that announcer, when he would get back up and he would begin to go through his routine, he'd tell them, "Welcome to the Curry Mountain or Curry Cliff," whatever the name of it was. And this is what he would say. He'd say, "The place where the fire used to fall." And the people got so worked up. And the people got so, till they began to push them and push them. There was something about the fire falling that I don't know about you, but there's something about the fire of God. There's something about the fire of the Holy Ghost. We just left another youth camp a couple of weeks ago, and there's nothing I enjoy seeing more than young people around the altar with tears running on. Not all young people are rebels. Not all young people want the world. Not all young people want to go to the movies and the bowling alley. There's some young people right here. Their heart's desire is, "God, I want the fire. God, let the fire fall in my life." And there's nothing I want to see more this week than some young people with their hands raised and tears running down their face, spraying through till they speak in other tongues. I believe we've got some of them young people right here. Now I know, and I'm fixing to close, somebody get us a song. I know at youth camp a lot of times, and it's necessary. We hear a lot of preaching about outward standards, and it's necessary. We hear a lot of sad stories about kids that went bad, and it's necessary. And those kids that it's like the prodigal son, they seem to gather all of the attention. But I'd like to focus my attention tonight on some young people that aren't backslid. I'd like to focus my attention on some young people tonight that's not rebels, that's not fooling with the world, that's not flirting with the world, that they come to youth camp on the first night, and God, I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God, I need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. God, I want the fire of God in my life. I want all of God I can get. I believe if we had some fuel, I believe if we had some young people that would stand to their feet and come to an altar of prayer and say, God, let the fire fall. I believe the wind of the Holy Ghost would blow, and I believe the fire of God would fall. Stand with me. That fire that began to burn on Pentecost has been burning for some 2,000 years. And I believe God's continuing to burn it. As our sister begins to play, I want to know right now. I know it's the first night we're trying to fill it out. But I say just let's let God have his way. I feel the Holy Ghost here. There's more to a fire than a flame. We need to get the fire of God. Hey, I'll tell you, there's been times, Brother Joy, praying in my life. There's times that I was cold. There was times that I wasn't on fire. And I'd begin to pray. And Brother Joy, the whole time I was praying, and I don't know, maybe I'm weird. Maybe you'll think I'm crazy. But the whole time I was praying, I was thinking, I got to speak in tongues. I got to shout. I got to have some kind of outward. And that was my focus. And that was all, that was what, and I felt like, Brother Joe, I felt like if I didn't reach that I hadn't got through. But then I realized that if I'll just begin to pray through, and I'll just begin to get everything out of my life that don't need to be there, and I'll begin to invoke the presence of God. God, I need the fire. God, I want more of you. I need more of you. And I realized I'd get lost in that kind of prayer. And before long, I realized the Holy Ghost had taken over, Brother Tony, and he'd begin to do his work in my life. Well, our sister sings, I wonder if there's any young people on the first night of youth camp, you'd step out from your seat and say, I want the fire of God in my life. I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Bless this one. Come on. I need to be refilled in the Holy Ghost. There's more. Come on, come on. Come on, young people. We're going to start this camp out right tonight with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need a refilling in the Holy Ghost. It's been a while since you prayed through the Holy Ghost. Why don't you come? Come on, everybody that would. Moms, dads, let's gather around. Pastors, let's gather around these young people. Let's pray through, young people, till the fire of God falls in our life. I don't want a remote control flame, God. I don't want to turn it on or turn it off. I want a fire in my life that cannot be quenched by this world. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's gather around these young people. Help them pray through. Help them pray till the fire.